This week, the Israeli Supreme Court effectively gave the government a green light to continue with its policy of what Israel calls the targeted killings of Palestinian militants. Israeli and Palestinian human rights groups had appealed to the court to block the assassinations, which they termed state terror. The court says it does not render rulings on security issues. But as NPR's Linda Gradstein reports, more and more Israelis are questioning Israel's policy.
Earlier this month, Ra'id Karmi, a 27-year-old militant from Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's Fatah movement, was killed in an explosion a few yards from his hideout in the West Bank. Israel didn't officially take responsibility for Karmi's death, but the Prime Minister's office issued a statement charging him with responsibility for the deaths of 9 Israelis. Karmi's killing shattered a period of relative calm and led to a new spiral of violence that further dimmed hopes for a ceasefire. Israeli government spokesman Dani Simon says Karmi was planning to send 5 suicide bombers into Israel. Simon says the killing was justified.
These people that the Palestinians aren't stopping, it's not that they're sitting around sunbathing and waiting for either peace to come or for the conflict to resume. They're planning, they're perpetrating, they're preparing attacks.
But not all Israelis accept the government explanation. Yaron Ezrahi, a professor of political science at Hebrew University, says many Israelis have begun to doubt the government.
The Israeli intelligence keeps telling us that the people who are being assassinated have been on their way to perform acts of terror against Israel. But the Israeli public and the Israeli press has no way of establishing the veracity of that assertion. This is a very unhealthy and unacceptable situation.
In the past 16 months, Israel has admitted assassinating 21 Palestinians. Palestinians and human rights groups say the number is much higher, about 50. Ezrahi says the assassinations are morally problematic and have done nothing to stop terrorism.
While the legality, the humanity, the ethicality, and the practicality of these policies are so profoundly questioned, there is a mounting tendency on the part of the Israeli intelligentsia in criticizing and rejecting this policy.
Amos Harel, the military correspondent for the Haaretz newspaper, says the Israeli military establishment believes that assassinations are a valid way of stopping suicide bombers. But, says Harel, there is some debate about the wisdom of assassinating Palestinian political leaders like Ali Abu Mustafa, the head of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, who was killed in August.
I think that the army, in some of the cases, is using these methods against people who are involved in some way in terrorism, but have also a political aspect to their actions. And I think these are the cases that are more worthy of discussion inside Israel.
Harel says one suggestion now under discussion is to have a senior legal group approve targets for assassination before the operations are carried out. While some Israelis are questioning the morality of the assassinations, many Palestinians believe the policy is part of the Sharon government's plan to ensure there are no more peace talks between the two sides. Rina Hamami is a professor of anthropology at Birzeit University.
It's obvious now to a 5-year-old that the whole idea behind the assassination policy is not to stop the Intifada and not to stop terror attacks, but to actually make a ceasefire impossible so that Ariel Sharon can continue in the direction he's going, which is to destroy Palestinian Authority, to destroy Yasser Arafat, and ultimately to stop any possibility for the creation of a Palestinian state.
Israeli officials insist that the assassinations have saved Israeli lives, but critics in Israel argue that the policy is both ineffective and counterproductive. Linda Gradstein, NPR News, Jerusalem.